Hey, Steeler Nation, welcome back to another episode of Steeler's Realm Podcast, powered by Riverside FM, the official remote HD video and audio conferencing tool of Steeler's Realm. I'm one of your hosts, JT, along with In the Heart of Browns Country, who suffered their own playoff defeat. It's the famous TA. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Steeler's Nation, we're back. Indeed. I'm doing all right, man. I just got done over my Super Bowl coma. I mean, that damn game put me to sleep, JT. I just woke up this morning.
It was a snooze fest over on the other side of the state. Joining back up with us together, it's New Jersey Dev. What's going on, man? How was your Super Bowl weekend?
I mean, I can't believe it, man. You know, they said it couldn't be done. They said he was washed up, too old and too weak of an arm. No way he's going. You're going to do it in the NFC. Congratulations to Blaine Gabbert on winning the Super Bowl.
He played a hell of a game.
Yes. Yes.
Great game, man.
So
that clipboard, he had form holding that tablet.
Sir.
Perfect form.
Indeed. Well, we were off for a little bit, Steeler Nation, but thanks for tuning back in. I saw we had, some great listener response. Our Steeler Nation getting their fix over Super Bowl weekend, even though we weren't anywhere near any of the newsworthiness. And Steeler Nation, just to let you know, we're going to be taking 2 weeks off and come back strong. With kind of a new fresh format and some off-season topics to get us through the off-season, coming back March 4th. So make a note of that. Don't think we went anywhere. We're just taking a hiatus and retooling things at the Steeler's Realm studio here. And we'll be back on the 4th. So with that said, let's jump into, what's gone on over the last week or two that we've been away. I guess starting with the Super Bowl. And my question was, did anybody check Tom Brady's balls for the game?
I did.
Did you?
He needs to get a manscape.
Oh, yeah. Well, were they firm?
Those weren't the balls were they talking about, or are they?
Were they mushy?
They're kind of saggy, you know? He's 45, JT. Kind of got a little droop to him.
No more
right side.
No more
right side hangs a little lower than the left.
Were they regulation?
No, they looked a little deflated.
Yeah. Also, hey, there's a new drink out, made famous, just recently. Avocado tequila. That's the new drink. Going to get me some of that.
Yeah, so I can win a drinking Super Bowl. Yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I can win a Super Bowl. Yeah, he got escorted off the boat and.
Is it a coincidence that they announced he's getting knee surgery today? I mean, drunken injuries, remain undefeated at this point.
I wonder about if that trophy got dented getting tossed around like that, too.
You know there's people watching that like, I hope that fucker lands in a river and sink. I'll never find it.
They'd have divers out looking for that. They'd recover in it.
Our man LeBron, though, he threw some shade about that celebration. Did you see that?
No. Tell us.
Said, man, oh, man, I wish we were able to have our parade, too, because I would have been walking beautifully just like you.
They were denied.
Walking beautifully.
No parades for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So.
You do it. With about the game, though, I mean, it did get the lowest ratings since what you say, JT, of
2007.
Year.
That was the Colts versus the Bears.
Yeah.
And I believe it was 96.4 million viewers was the viewership. Do you guys know
go ahead.
I was going to say, do you guys know what the average 30-second commercial rate was for this year?
What, 5 mil?
5.3, I believe, was 5.3 mil.
Man, those people are probably pissed. They could have got more value out of Rex Grossman versus Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, Patty Mahomes, the Tony Romo bull.
Didn't leave up to the hype, and then the viewership obviously trailed off as the game got more lopsided, too. But On the upside now, the streaming was up for, what was it, CBS's, CBS, 94.5 million viewers for Super Bowl 55 on traditional. But the game was the most live-streamed NFL contest ever, with an average minute audience of 5.7 million viewers. So,
AJT, was that just because all those cardboard figures had also flatbook notebooks in their hand?
I don't know. What'd they say? Each one of the $100 for each cardboard figure out there? Interesting stats. Sorry, man. I'm digging into you guys' stats
No, you're all right. Keep going on those stats. But I got a question to ask you. Okay. Here we are. And, you know, and I'm not going to get political on you, but here we are talking about handing money out to Americans because we're desperate. But yet, there must have been 60,000 undesperate people who felt it okay to put $100 for a cardboard picture of themselves who nobody got to see. Where do those cardboard figures go? Do they end up in a trash can? Are they walking the streets with the Lonely Bud Light guy? I mean, what gives with that $100?
I don't know about you guys. If somebody I paid $100, yeah, I would want mine back, man.
Yeah, somebody did their cat as one. There's a cat. Yeah. I think the biggest storyline from the game was the Super Bowl streaker and how big of a genius that guy is. Did you guys hear that?
Yes, great story. Great story. Yeah. Tell us, in case anybody didn't catch that.
Yeah, so everybody probably thought at first, like, this guy's a weirdo wearing a pink thong and streaking across the field, like anything. I thought it's probably he's trying to advertise something, or he's, like, this World Series flasher trying to, you know, she's, like, famous on Instagram now, even though she's a felony.
Right.
It's a felony and is probably a registered sex offender, et cetera. She makes millions of dollars. But he placed a $50,000 prop bet. This guy that was the streaker at plus $750 odds that there would be a streaker at the Super Bowl. I mean, the odds were probably so high because you're thinking, like, all right, there's a streaker every year. What, you know, why are they giving him such high odds? Because there's only 22,000 people at the game, 7,000 of which are vaccinated healthcare workers. But he placed that bet and it cost him $1,000 to get out of jail. So he netted $374,000 on that bet. And he was smart about it, too. He sent his buddy out as a distraction, and then he jumped down and ran and made it onto the field. So
that's it. Good call there.
And then 74K.
And then it was funny on some of the Steelers groups, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners are memberships on Facebook groups. Somebody put a comment and said we should hire him as a running back. Because he avoided several tackles on the way to the end zone. But I don't understand why he slid right before the end zone. Maybe he saw that, if you guys have seen the video, his tackle was imminent right about there, and he almost got de-headed by one of the white-shirted guards or whatever there as he was going down. So maybe he was just avoiding the headshot there for the slide, but... Yeah,
this security guards live for that shit. They're hoping for the streaker, you know.
You know it. You know it. But
them and James Harrison.
Yeah, that's right. With the Browns field walker, that game. Still love seeing that video. But, that was the highlight. Definitely the highlight. You knew something was going on when you're watching it on TV and they're not showing anything on the field. Like if it was a seagull or a cat running across the field or something, no, it wasn't that. It was something more obvious than that. So, highlight of the Super Bowl for me, what a snooze fest. Good for Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do they call them? Champa Bay now?
That city's it's a shithole. Like, oh, it's in beautiful Tampa Bay. Dude, it's a dump. It's the strip club's capital of the world.
Is it?
Seriously.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Absolutely.
I used to work
with you myself.
Yeah, I used to work with this guy who he would tell his wife that there was a conference in Tampa every year, and he'd go down there for a week. There was no conference in Tampa. Who would have a conference in that dump? But... everybody should still, instead of being like pissed at AB and Brady, everybody should be happy for, you know, like Bruce Arians, guys like Larry Foote, Randall L. Leftwich, you know, so.
There's a lot of Steelers that got a ring on that one.
Yep. Yeah. Randall L., like you said.
Pittsburgh South.
Yeah, really.
It's like, what was it?
Really.
Pittsburgh West in Arizona.
So, you know, we feel kind of, yeah, how about Andy Reid dropped a big turd on that one there?
Yeah, I mean, we won't get into it, but yeah. He definitely, his mind wasn't on that game, I'm sure.
Yeah, they
dickhead
just,
son.
They just got outplayed. They got outplayed, out-defensed. I knew it would come down to defense, and I had a feeling. Just like Tampa Bay's defense was all over Green Bay.
They're so physical. Physical.
Yeah. Just no chance. Patty Mahomes had no chance. Anyhow, a little bit of a down note, guys, and we'll turn the page here. Passing of Mrs. Rooney. Rest in peace, Mrs. Rooney. God bless the family, the Rooney family, with the loss of Mrs. Rooney. So I wanted to get that out there. And, you know, I know she was very close with a lot of players and personnel there as well. A lot of great stories out there, so we won't get into a lot of them. But take a look into it. Take a look into that. There's some great stories out there. On another note, a couple new coaches, some new hiring moves.
Aren't we going to stay sad, though, for a second here, Todd?
Well, yeah, I mean, probably got to say something about Marty. I mean,
okay.
Marty passed away. I mean, he is a PA boy. I mean, he was, you know, Bill Cowher's mentor. I mean, he is in the top 10 of most winningest coaches. And, you know, he always felt bad that he never won the big one. But you got to admit, he was a stand-up guy, and he was the face of the NFL for a long, long time. So, you know, he'll be missed.
Yeah, so those not familiar, Marty Schottenheimer, obviously.
The greatest regular season coach of all time.
Yep, 77 years old.
I mean, I got a sad thing to share now, too, if you guys are sharing sad stuff. Today was the 20th anniversary of the Three River Stadium implosion.
That's right. That is right. How many of you guys watched that when that happened?
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty cool. End of an era. Some mixed feelings with that. Still enjoy watching that whole thing. But what a place that was in its day, man. For those who attended some Steeler games or Pirate games there, man, what a place that was. Players hated playing on it, though. Turf was like concrete.
It was terrible for baseball.
Oh, yeah. Big bowl.
Well, it was okay as long as you didn't get caught behind a pillar.
It had character. It certainly had character.
Oh, it sure did. Sure did. Go check out some of the videos Steel City Star has out on his website, too. You'll see some Steeler, some Three River Stadium Steeler footage. I actually have something pretty cool, guys. I don't know if I've ever shown you this. I have something from Three River Stadium that my mom had done for me. It was a game against a home game. Cincinnati was there. Jerome Bettis had just taken the handoff. It was a photo taken from the end zone. And on the scoreboard is my DJ business's name. It said, "The Pittsburgh Steelers welcome Jim Tiger of Sound Effects." And it was right as the ball was getting handed off to Jerome Bettis. I'll have to share that with you guys, too. But that was from Three River Stadium. And it was something that they offered. You could do that. You could put your name or a message up on the, you know, the screen, and at certain times they would put it in there, and you could photographers would take a picture of it too. So I'll share that with you guys. Pretty cool. Speaking of, that's my Three Rivers memory, but it's pretty cool. I mean, I wish I knew exactly when that game was. I'll probably try to track it down, but it was kind of cool. The bus was getting the ball, and you could see there was a huge hole he was about to run through. It was like parting the Red Sea, that hole. But anyhow, that's my Three River story. So, Yeah, yeah. Speaking of other sad notes, but anyhow, yeah, some new hires as we were getting into. The torch was passed on to Matt Canada, as we've all heard, as a new offensive coordinator. But, you know, they announced the hiring of three other coaches. So if you guys want to take over on that, TA, do you want to bring us the good news on our new coaches?
Well, the three coaches that we ended up bringing in is Mike Solomon, new quarterback's coach, Chris Morgan, the assistant offensive line coach, and probably the one coach that we needed the best, Matt Tumusho, quality control coach. I mean, because quality is control, and you need a coach to coach the control to make sure you have the quality. So old Tumusho is going to make it happen. But in all seriousness, I think the one hire that I'm really excited about is Solomon.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that, first and foremost, man, he's a Army infantry officer, graduated Ranger Airborne Air Assault, and Lord knows we need some discipline on that team. So, you know, hopefully he brings a little bit to it, especially to those quarterbacks, because we've got two young guys who, let's face it, one was a punk and got kicked off a team, and we picked him up as a reject.
Yep.
And the other one who, you know, stands like the Statue of Liberty. If he can just get him to throw like the Statue of Liberty, we might be okay. And then, of course, you got Big Ben, who, you know, the rumor is, you know, he doesn't listen to nobody and he just has his own. So, you know, maybe we'll be doing some military drills. So I'm kind of excited about this, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And you got Adrian Clem. I mean, come on. We finally, after 2 years, got somebody who actually played in the NFL. I mean, granted, it was with the Green Bay Packers, you know, but, you know, and he was with the Patriots. But, I mean, and he was a backup, but he played football. Not like the other yo-ho we had. And Kamosho, I guess, you know, as long as you're friends with Matt Canada, man, you might have a job forever.
Yeah.
There's my take on it.
Good to have friends, huh?
Have you guys seen a picture of that Matt Tumusho?
No.
He's got to be not a day over 20 years old, I mean.
Oh, really?
Got to be a young guy. Did he play football?
No, he just got out of high school.
I was going to say. Yeah, you got Mike Sullivan. I mean, there's two Mike Sullivans in Pittsburgh now. I mean,
Sully and Sully 2.
Yeah. So, good hires. Yeah. Were they all from within?
Yeah.
Well, we brought Sully over. The other two were from within, I'm sure.
No. Because we brought, of course, Sully, he came over. Adrian Clem, he was, I guess he was the, what was Clem? Clem was the, I guess he was the, what do they call it? The backup to the backup line coach?
His administrative assistant?
Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Wait a second. That's what it was. Damn it, guys. You didn't even catch me on this. It wasn't. Adrian, we went ahead and we promoted up. See how crazy we're getting here? Chris Morgan is who we brought in, boys.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
Damn.
That's
right. Hey, you heard it here first. Fake news, guys. We're all about it. Anytime we can give it out, that's what we're going to do.
So here they say the quality control coach preps the teams for a game well in advance of the actual matchup by breaking down film and analyzing plays. Because they know their opponent's tendencies, the QCC, there it is, will often run a scout team at practice, and the practice squad members will give starters an accurate representative of what to expect from their upcoming opponent. I thought the quality control coach would be somebody watching the clock and also giving feedback on when to throw the red flag and when not to the challenge flag. So I don't know. I guess our definition of quality control is different from the NFL's version. But anyhow, that's the official line on what a QCC does.
Mm.
FYI.
And I want to just say congratulations. I mean, it's his first job in the NFL, yeah, so kudos right to him.
Yeah.
He's
the get back coach. Tell everybody get back.
Get your mask on. Yeah.
So I was telling you guys before the show, they used to have a cord guy, you know, and all the headsets had cords. And his job was eliminated by all this technology. So,
and then they went wireless.
Yeah. So maybe he'll also be the guy, like, when after Roethlisberger looks at the tablet between series, he goes and takes the tablet and puts it back in the docking station to charge. Keep them tablets charged up there, Maddie.
That's funny. Good stuff. Steelers have fewest assistant coaches in the league, I read somewhere. As a matter of fact.
And the Bucs had what, the biggest staff?
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I'm sure they got a coach for every coach, assistant coach for every coach. So
I mean, we're going to just keep promoting so many people from within, and they're going to keep getting let go that we might have three coaches left by the end of next year.
Well, hey, speaking of what's left next year, and Dev, you might be attuned to this. Weren't there some odds about the first coach to lose his job in 2021? Did you read that?
Yeah. Mike Tomlin is in the top 10 for coaches to get fired. So he has one of the top 10 odds, pulling up right now. He has 29-1 odds that he'd be fired or resign. So that puts him in the top 10, apparently. The most likely coach to be fired or resign is the Broncos, Vic Fangio, 5-1, followed by the Bears, Matt Nagy, 6-1, Vikings, Mike Zimmer, 8-1, basically the whole NFC North, Bengals, 11-1, and Kingsbury, 12-1. So, he's right after one of them, so he's like number 8 or 7.
Well, my thought is Steelers aren't going to fire Tomlin. Not this year.
Vegas is rarely wrong.
That's true. I always get the inside. Well, guys, something I'm pissed about, as I should be, as we all should be. My man, my defensive player of the year, got the snub once again. T.J. Watt snubbed for Defensive Player of the Year again for the second year in a row. What the hell?
I mean, it's complete highway robbery. That was the term I threw out there on the Twitter sphere as soon as it happened. And that term has been being used by a lot of people. So maybe I started. I brought highway robbery back for us and everybody else. Well, it was highway robbery.
It was really, and the most disruptive. I mean, Aaron Donald. He said, "No taking anything away from him," but you know, come on, nobody wanted to play against T.J. Watt. Nobody could stop that guy. Nobody could stop him. Yeah, different position. I get it. Okay. You know, interior lineman versus a outside linebacker. But come on, man.
Yeah, but let's face it, too. Aaron plays all along that line, and TJ plays all along that line. They both put their hand on the ground. They both sometimes stand up. The thing that gets me the most is, and JJ put it out the best there on Twitter, man. I mean, TJ killed Donald in every major category. Tackles 53-41, sacks 15-13.5, tackles for loss 23-12, pressures 55-42, quarterback hits 41-26. I mean, I can continue to go on, and this was just a complete embarrassment to the NFL and almost a joke to the voting system. It was 27-20. It wasn't even close. And then there was some idiot who gave Xavier Howard 3 votes. 3 idiots. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah. I don't get it. It's 2 years in a row, in my opinion. He's kind of been screwed. So, and
yeah.
Hey, the silver lining, like I mentioned, whenever we discussed, could he get screwed again, is that he doesn't have that defensive player of the year slapped on that resume. Therefore, the Steelers don't have to pay him defensive player of the year money. So we kind of have tight pockets right now. But
well, I mean, what's that amount to in the, you know, in the big picture of things? But hey, on a positive note, he did win the 101 award for Defensive Player of the Year for 2020, joining his brother JJ, who was a 4-time winner of that award, as the only siblings ever to win the award. Plus, he also joins Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, Carnell Lake, Greg Lloyd, Rod Woodson, Jack Lambert, Mel Blount, Joe Green, all fellow Steelers to win the 101 Awards Defensive Player of the Year as well, too. So good stuff there. Congrats on that, TJ.
What's the trivia question? What's the 101 Award? Will anybody remember that 4 years from now?
Yeah, 101.
I don't know. I have no idea.
One last thing that I want to mention about this, and I predicted this, and you guys said, that's not true. How's that going to happen? The Pittsburgh media has not come to TJ Watt's defense of all. If anything, they've come to Aaron Donald's defense, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing. Even Steeler writers out there, I won't mention any names, but, you know, quotes like, if you're going to compare stats, at least add context that one's an interior defensive lineman. Losing out to Aaron Donald isn't a loss. He's a defensive freaking tackle. These are quotes made by Pittsburgh media and also people that were that work for the Steelers and write for the Steelers. Who are defending.
You're just pissed because he was a Pitt player.
Okay. They're not coming to our boys' defense here, and they're going to just act like it's cool because Donald went to Penn Hills. He's the native son, and they love them at Pitt. So they're just laying down like a dog and getting their belly pad.
Yeah, well,
getting their belly rubbed.
Shame on them for that. Shame on them for that.
No, nobody's coming to his defense. They're all like, oh, yeah, Aaron Donald. Cool.
KJ is. Brothers Watt. Oh, man. Anyhow, well, onward we go into the offseason, which is going to prove to be a challenge. More to come on that, Steeler Nation. But, hey, new Hall of Fame nominees announced. T.A., and I think both well-deserving. Our boy Joe Gordon will be happy. We got to connect with him. We got to get him back on to get his take on that, too. But, T.A., who were the nominees?
Absolutely. We got Mr. Bill Nunn goes in as a contributor. Well-deserved.
Well-deserved.
Probably.
Congratulations, Bill Nunn.
Yeah, way overdue. And then Alan Faneca. So when you look at it, Alan Faneca was the only lineman to make it this year. So hats off to Alan. Hats off to Bill Nunn.
Yeah.
So
well deserved.
We got to make the trek to Canton this year, boys.
I already got my tickets, man. I'm ready for twice the fun in 21.
Yeah, man. Twice the fun.
Yeah.
Get us a couple more, brother. Hmm?
You got to call the HOF, man, because you know they're a little COVID crazy. You might be able to give them $100 and get a cardboard picture of your cat sitting right beside me if you want. I'll rub its belly.
I'll be vaxxed, so maybe you'll see me out there, TA.
We'll
crash the place. We'll crawl under the fence. Up. Dev, you and I'll crawl under the fence, man. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll crawl. We'll hop the fence like it's a friggin' Motley Crue concert, you know. But the thing that pissed me off about the Hall of Fame vote, people are bitching that Tony Baselli should have got in over Faneca. Come on,
please.
Dude played 6 years.
Please,
you know. And people are mad about Clay Matthews Jr. My argument there is okay. Yeah, maybe he should have got in, but. What about Andy Russell if we're going to argue for Clay Matthews Sr.? I'm sorry. Andy Russell has a very similar resume.
Well, yeah.
Don't you agree, Todd?
Good point.
You know, I'm not even going to go down that road because every year somebody gets slighted. I mean, if we want to talk about that, Faneca has been slighted for the last 6 years. Hines Ward continues to be slighted for it.
Right.
I mean, I have no idea what goes into the voting of the so-called elective sports analysis from across the country. But it is obvious to see that it is basically a good old boy network to some extent and actual stats may or may not even play a major role in this. But more as our friend Mr. Gordon said, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back next year. I mean, so to sit here and get all upset about it, I'm just happy that, because, hey, look, we can throw the conspiracy in here. Since majority of them are Denver Broncos and Pittsburgh Steelers from both the class of 20 and 21, they just kept it all in the neighborhood as far as who's going to come to attend this year, as far as a fan base. Who knows what they think? I'm not going to go down that road, Dev.
It's true. We'll be here for quite some time.
At least it's better than Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame this year.
It's just fucking snobs, dude. The worst people in the face of the earth.
How about that, huh?
Like, their noses just point straight up constantly if you're a baseball writer.
And let's face it, man. There's nobody who is going to make it in through that steroid era. Nobody.
No. Or Curt Schilling, because of what he's done afterwards in his career.
Right, which is absolutely bogus to boot, too.
Crazy.
He told Curt Schilling said, hey, take me off the ballot next year. Just put me in the veterans pool.
Oh, man.
Just give him the bloody sock award and move on.
Curt Schilling, great at baseball, terrible at designing video games.
All right. What's the latest on the what is the ongoing saga of the Big Ben contractual negotiations, et cetera?
It's pretty hush hush, buddy. This is top secret stuff this week. It's been pretty quiet in Pittsburgh. The rumor is they're at the table. They're negotiating. And the best thing that we can hope for, because Big Ben's due $21 million no matter how you slice the pie. He's getting $21 million. Question is how can they spread it out, and what's a salary cap hit going to be this year?
You mean 41 mil?
No. 21 is actually guaranteed from that contract. What they have to pay him no matter what is 21 mil. Now, the Steelers' best case scenario, if Ben is really, really, really serious about saying, hey, I want to retain some people, I want to come back, I'll play for, minimum. You've already paid me, a quarter of $1 billion over my lifetime here in Pittsburgh. And he comes back for a $2 million annual salary. That will only be a $23 million salary cap hit for this year. So right now, can Ben play for $2 million, which is what I'm sure the Steelers are hoping for? Or is he going to want to at least be a little respectable and say 10 and cost us $31 million? That's basically what it boils down to. Man. Where's Ben going to feel comfortable in coming back to play?
Well, Drew Brees took a pay cut over the weekend. $24 million. He's going to take the veterans minimum of $1.075 million. So, guy wants to keep playing. That's what you got to do. And Steelers are playing their cards perfect. They're acting like that, kind of pissed off ex-girlfriend just broke up. And, hey, you got to earn your right back. Like they said, we need our time apart because Ben wanted to jump the negotiation table and get this figured out as soon as the season was over. But the wounds were still fresh for the Steelers. So now we need to take some time apart. Okay? Calm down, Ben. So I think he's begging. We're in the best situation as a franchise for this because
I think
he's going to take a substantial cut.
Yeah, if he wants to play. Now, there's other factors involved, obviously, and more to come on this, obviously, as we go, too. But, what team's he coming back to? What players are going to be kept? What players are going to be cut? Is Pouncey going to be there? What receivers is he going to have? And like we said last time, if we're going to lose half of these people and, we're in this transition year and, everybody's saying that we got no shot at any Super Bowl next year. Maybe playoffs, but
playoffs.
But what's the point? what's the point? What do we do? Is we just bring them back at, you know, 19 million, 18, whatever they, 14.4, whatever, for another year to do what? So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm on that. We're not going to solve that tonight, but
he's the first piece of the pie to be that you have to take care of before any of that other stuff could fall in place.
Certainly. But I wonder, you know, what he's going to settle on with the rest of the unknowns being out there. You know, I guess is the other side of that coin. So
he's certainly done a hill turn in recent years with his attitude, because this old Ben Roethlisberger would have took a, you know, a dime pay cut, and he's been doing it every year. Now he's talking about playing for free. So, but I don't think Pouncey's coming back, Jim. Did you see that guy in that Facebook group, Steelers Facebook group, that post?
What was it?
He said his brother's moving company moved all Pouncey's stuff to South Florida, and there's like a picture of the moving company and the guy's brother and Pouncey, and there's palm trees in the background.
Oh, well, writing's on the wall. So, well, we'll see. More to come, Steeler Nation, coming up March 4th when we jump back on here. I'm sure we'll have some more stuff to talk about, too. But, hey, listen, guys, before we wrap it up, let's hit our Steel City Star Spotlight Player of the Week. That would be none other than Bam Morris, running back Bam Morris. So, make sure I'm going to go ahead and throw the plug out, steelcitystar.com. Go out there, and you'll see some of our stuff posted out there. Some great stuff, Steeler stuff from recent and past years over there, too. But, you know, focusing on Bam Morris, pretty good career with the Steelers, wouldn't you say, guys?
If you want to call 2 years with the Steelers a good career, then yes.
94, 95.
Yeah. I mean, his performance at Super Bowl 30 was kind of underrated, you know?
It was. I mean, you know, and for what we had him for and what he did for us and produced for us, absolutely. I mean, I hated to see the way his career ended, and, you know, he's looking behind bars, but, you know, he was a running back that really probably could have been considered one of the best if he had had his shit together. I'm sorry, cross that out.
He did make a comeback to football. He played with the Caddy Copperheads down in the Texas Arena League in 2006. So after he spent 3 years of a 10-year sentence behind bars for violating his parole, that I believe was due to the 100 kilos of marijuana he was distributing. So, hey, man, he's in Texas. It's pretty easy to get a bunch of pot down there with Mexico right over the border. So.
Well, didn't he spend a couple years with Baltimore?
Yeah, right after us.
Yeah, 96, 97, I think. Pretty,
yeah, I mean,
or the same number. Played 11 games each season.
He averaged 3.9 yards a carry. He'd get paid today in the NFL.
Yeah.
3.9 a carry.
96.
He never broke 1,000 yards for the season, though, guys. I mean, he just couldn't stay focused.
94, he did. 1,040 yards.
Was that total yards?
Yards or from scrimmage. Yards. That was yards from scrimmage, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Man, he couldn't stay focused. That damn wacky tobacco will do that to you. A
couple pounds will do you. Who did he remind you of, though, guys? Really? The build, the running style. I thought he reminded me a lot of who was to come. Jerome Bettis. Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely an earlier version of him. There's no doubt about it. He had a great low center of gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a bruiser. He was just a rock. I mean, it really is a shame about his story, because he really could have been a good back.
Mm-hmm. 6 foot, 244 pounds, playing weight. That's a bruiser, man.
Man, in hindsight, had we known the bus was coming, we could have called Bam the short bus.
That's it. Oh, man. Let's see. So, well, anyhow, congrats, Bam Morris, being Steel City Spotlight Player of the Week. So check them out, steelcitystar.com.
It's some bullshit, man.
Not sure what's going on with that, but TA and I look for it, actually. The YouTube channel. You must have got caught up in the cancel culture, too. But anyhow, we don't get political here.
Shout out to him. So everybody go check out his website. Show him some love. Dude worked his ass off on that YouTube channel.
Yeah, he really did.
Finally got 1,000 subscribers, and they took it down without an explanation. So maybe they'll put it back up. We can only hope. But
SteelCityStar.com, and then out on Twitter. What's his Twitter handle, Dev?
At SteelCityStar. And all that stuff will be in the description.
There you go. All right, guys. Anything else before we call it a wrap? Head into the off season. Start a new season March 4th, Steeler Nation. So check us out. And in the interim, we're going to be sharing some of the highlights of 2020 year in review. Some of the great player interviews we had over this past year was phenomenal for us, and we appreciate you hanging by us and checking them out. We'll definitely be expanding on those player interviews coming up for 2021. And in the meantime, in the off season, we'll be refocusing and resharing those out there too. So go back through 2020, check out some of our great interviews. Former Steeler players over the year. So with that said, Steeler Nation, careful in the hot tub. Don't go anywhere. Keep tuned to SteelersRealm.com for more information coming up on the next podcast. Guys, good to connect with you again. Careful in the hot tub. We'll catch you next time.
Steelers Nation, enjoy the peace and quiet of no football, because it's going to be back before you know it, and we're going to be here to deliver it to you. Good night.
See you in a couple weeks, Steeler Nation.
Check back next week into the Steelers Realm podcast.